Vasudev Namo Bhagavate Vaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ekada Savimanena. Ekadasa vimanena Vishnu datena bashvata Vishnu datena bashvata Girishang dadrishe gachchan Girishang dadrishe gachchan Paritang Siddhacharanai Paritang Siddhacharanai Alingyang Kirkritang Devim. Oh, you didn't put both? Only one? Okay. Ekada Savimanena Vishnu datena bashvata Girisangda dushe gachchan Pratitang siddhacharanahi Ekadasa vimanena Vishnu datena bashvata Girisangda drishe gachchan Paritang siddhacharanahai. Ekadasa vimanena Vishnu datena bashvata Girisangda drishe gachchan Paritang siddhacharanai. Ekadasa vimanena Vasvada Girisangda drishe gachchan Paritang siddhacharanai. Ekadasa vimanena Vishnu datena vashvata. Haritam siddhacharanai. Ladies, ekadasa vimanena Vishnu datena vashvata Girishamda drishe gachchan Paritang siddhacharanahai. First number 5, I'll read it and then we'll chant the word for word. Alingyang kirkritang devim bahunamuni sangsadhi vacha devyah shrinvantya Jahasotchaishtad antike. The word for word. Ekada. One time. Saha. He, King Chitraketu. Vimanena. With his airplane. Vishnudatena. Given to him by Lord Vishnu. Bashvata. Shining brilliantly, Girisham, Lord Shiva, Dadrishe, he saw, Gachan, going, Paritam, surrounded, Siddha, by the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, Charanai, and the inhabitants of Charanloka. Alingya, embracing. Ankirkritam, sitting on his lap. Devim, his wife Parvati. Bahuna, with his arms. Munisangsadi, in the presence of great saintly persons. Uvacha, he said, Devyaha, while the goddess Parvati, Shrinvantyaha, was hearing. Jahasa, he heard. Uchchai, very loudly. Tad Antike, in the vicinity. One day, while King Chitraketu was traveling in outer space on a brilliantly effulgent airplane given to him by Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by siddhas and charanas. Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of great saintly persons and embracing Parvati on his lap with his arm. Chitraketu laughed loudly and spoke within the hearing of Parvati. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection, Bhaktim Bhutim Harir Dhatva Sva Vichche Dhanu Bhutaye Devaya Shapanena Vritratvam Nitva Tvam Swantike Nayat. The purport is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to bring Chitraketu to Vaikuntha-loka as soon as possible. The Lord's plan was that Chitraketu would be cursed by Parvati to become Vritrasura so that in his next life he could quickly return home back to Godhead. There have been many instances in which a devotee acting as a demon has been brought to the kingdom of God by the mercy of the Lord. For Parvati to be embraced by Lord Shiva was natural in a relationship between husband and wife. This was nothing extraordinary for Chitraketu to see. Nonetheless, Chitraketu laughed loudly to see Lord Shiva in that situation, even though he should not have done so. Thus, he was eventually cursed, and this curse was the cause of his returning home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurun Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishvaram. Ekada Savimanena Vishnu Datena Bhashvata Grisham Dadrishe Gatschan Puritam Siddhacharanai Alingyan Ki Kritam Devim Bahunamuni Sang Sadhi Vacha Dhevya Shrinvantya Jahaso Chesh Tad Antike. So here we see the word Vimanena, that Chitraketu was flying in this Vimana. So in these times,
of Chitraketu, which was many millions of years ago from antiquity. They also had airplanes, right? And they flew around. Modern society prides itself that they have so many modern amenities like airplanes, right? And therefore they think that they are very advanced compared to the olden times or ancient times. But here we see that Maharaj Chitraketu, he also was on an airplane, right? So sometimes, but these airplanes were different. They worked on a different principle. They had a different system of aerodynamics. So you can't compare the two in one sense. It's not that exactly the airplanes that are flying today, right? Boeings, Airbuses, right? That these exact same type of planes were there in the ancient times. No. This type of vimana is very different. A different principle. A principle that today's engineers wouldn't be able to duplicate or understand. So when the Vedic literatures talk about vimanas and airplanes and describe their capabilities and their qualities, today's engineers look at that and they say, well, this couldn't fly. You know, that's because they're looking at it in terms of their own understanding of modern engineering. And when they apply that to this very different principle of flying airplanes, they can't equate the two. And they're not supposed to, because they're two different types of engineering. So anyway, King Chitraketu has come upon Lord Shiva. He had the darshan of Lord Shiva and Parvati. What an elevated soul to actually see Lord Shiva, Mahadev, right? Along with so many other saintly persons and the Chinaras, the residents of Chinar Loka and Siddha Loka were also there, glorifying Lord Shiva. And he, at that time, Srila Prabhupada describes, that he would be cursed by Parvati. So that's explained in later verses why. But basically, he laughed out loudly, and he shouldn't have done that. He was seeing Parvati sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva like an ordinary husband and wife, and at the same time sitting in front of saintly persons. So he laughed at that. And for that, he was cursed by Parvati. But the curse turns out to be a blessing in the sense that he, by this curse of taking birth as a demon, he very quickly could return home back to Godhead. Right? As we see in the previous chapters, that having taken birth as Vritrasura, a demon, he was killed by Indra, and he went back to Godhead. So this is actually the purpose of this human form of life, is to work in such a way so that one can return home, back to the spiritual world, back to our constitutional position. Srila Prabhupada explains that one should attain one's swarup, one's swarup siddhi, right? And many persons explain how that is a very confidential and esoteric understanding, and certainly it is. But Srila Prabhupada explains it in a very simple way. One's swarup siddhi is that one constantly serves Krishna, that one has the mentality of wanting to please Krishna. That is swarup siddhi. Right? Our constitutional position, right? In the material world, the mentality is that one wants to be served. One wants to be served. That's why people, they go to fancy restaurants. They go to the fine dining establishments because there they receive service. Right? So in the material consciousness condition state, we want to be served. Right? But our actual position is to be the servant. We're not as complete trying to be served as we are trying to serve. Shri Radha Ras Bihari Gornita Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Nikita. So what here appears to be a very unfortunate situation, King Chitraketu is being cursed, right? But what is the end result? The end result is that he goes back home, back to Godhead. So we can't always judge a thing by our own interpretation, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very important that we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavad, the person who has understood Srimad Bhagavatam properly, so that we don't make a mistake in all these events that take place. Krishna sometimes arranges things for his devotee to do something that the Lord wants him to do. Right? Like in this instance, the Lord wanted Chitraketu to come back home very quickly. So he arranged it. He got cursed. He had to take birth as a demon. Got killed by Indra. The Lord does things sometimes in a very dramatic way. Right? Otherwise he could have just simply taken Chitraketu back if he wanted to. But he had a more elaborate plan. Right? Srila Prabhupada used to say that I have my plans, but Krishna also has his plans. What was Srila Prabhupada's plan? He was a householder, right? Most of his god brothers were sannyasis and brahmacharis. He was a householder living on the outside. Right? But he had a plan. Srila Prabhupada's plan was to make a very big pharmaceutical business and earn lots of money, and with that money spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Sounds like a good plan, right? But what happened? Srila Prabhupada's business failed. his company went into liquidation, right? And he became destitute, practically speaking. So Srila Prabhupada lamented, right? No, wrong. Right? His determination to serve his spiritual master's instructions were the focus. Right? Even in this situation where his business failed, it didn't affect him, because his determination was there. So whatever situation he was in, even in that destitute position, his focus was the same: to serve the spiritual master. He had a guiding principle. Right? The spiritual master had told him to spread the Krishna consciousness movement amongst the English-speaking people. And if you ever get some money, print books. So here he was, no money, but whatever money he got, he would use it in trying to print books. Living very simply in Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar Mandir, he had a room, and he would pay, I think it was 5 rupees a month for that room in Radha Damodar. That was in the 60s, in 68, 67. Because after Srila Prabhupada went to America, his health was not good, and in 67 or 68 he went back to India. So he went to stay in his rooms. And at that time the rent was 5 rupees a month. So he was keeping on paying the rent there. And part of the deal was that he would receive Mahaprasadam of Sri Sri Radha Damodar every day. So, but before Srila Prabhupada went to America, he was in a very, poor condition, not much money. However, his determination to serve was not controlled by that. He was still determined to serve and please Krishna. That was his mentality. Somehow or another, please do something to please Krishna. And then when Srila Prabhupada went to America, again, to please his spiritual master, to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement, it wasn't such a favorable situation. He was on a boat. He had 2 heart attacks on the boat, right? But he felt that Krishna was protecting him, and even in such a situation. You know, the Atlantic Ocean is very turbulent, right? The Pacific Ocean is very calm compared to the Atlantic Ocean. There's a lot of big waves in the Atlantic. And the boats get tossed around a lot, even though they're huge, multi-tonnage of boat in the water. Still, they get tossed around. But when Srila Prabhupada was crossing the Atlantic Ocean, comparatively, the ocean was very calm. And Srila Prabhupada commented later that if the Atlantic Ocean had shown its real face, well, certainly I would have died. So he felt that Krishna was taking care, even in such a situation. And then Srila Prabhupada came to America and started the Krishna consciousness movement with great difficulty. But some persons began to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And take to rendering service to Krishna. And in a span of 11 years that Srila Prabhupada was starting his Hare Krishna movement, the great opulences were accumulated. 108 temples, thousands of surrendered devotees, right? So much money was being collected and spent. Each center had so many cars, right? Srila Prabhupada had opulent quarters and so many different parts of the world. Right? He had so many American and British servants that were ready to do anything for him, even die for him. Wouldn't you say that Krishna put Srila Prabhupada in an opulent situation? But Srila Prabhupada was the same. His intention was to do some service. In 1975, in Los Angeles Temple, right? He had just arrived from the airport, and many of his disciples, loving disciples, were there performing kirtan, ready to do service for Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada said, on my own, I have no qualification. My only qualification is I try to do something to serve my spiritual master. So kindly help me. Kindly help me. And what was the help that Srila Prabhupada requested? He said, print as many books in as many languages as possible and sell them. And automatically the Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So comparatively, Chittaketu, Maharaj Chittaketu is in a similar situation, right? One moment, he's flying in a Viman. It was given to him by Lord Vishnu. Krishna is very kind to his devotees. You know, he's very, very kind. Just like a father to his son. You know, the father tells his son, okay, kid, here's to the keys to the car. Go ahead, you know, go for a spin. In the same way, out of affection, Lord Ananta gives Chittaketu a vimana, travel around different planetary systems, Shivaloka, right? Very kind. And the next moment he's cursed by Parvati to take birth as a demon. But he accepts that situation. Okay, this is the situation that I am. Now what can I do to serve Krishna? So we can learn from this. We can, by this example, we can appreciate in our own devotional service that whatever situation we're put in, we're in that situation by the arrangement of the Lord. And therefore, I should use that situation, whatever it is, to try to serve Krishna. And everyone's different. Everyone has a different situation that they're put in. But everyone also has the capacity to understand how that situation can be utilized to serve Krishna. Not sense gratification, Krishna. There was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Subhuti Roy. And he was a very big zamindar. in charge of so many lands. The zamindars, they would grow on the land. They would be given lands, and then they would grow, and they would give some portion to the government. At that time, it was a Muslim government. So he had many workers, and one worker that he had was a Muslim boy named Hussein Shah. And one day they were digging a lake, making a pond, and this boy wasn't working properly. So Subhuti Roy hit him with a whip on the back. Later on, this same boy, Hussein Shah, became the Nawab. And as the king, he was became very powerful. And his wife asked him, "Where did you get that mark on your back?" And he said, "Oh, that was Subhuti Roy. He hit me when I used to work for him." He said, "You should kill that guy right away." He said, "Well, how can I do that? Subhuti Roy, he treated me just like a father." She said, "No, no, no, you have to." Then the wife said, "Well, at least make him a Muslim." He said, "If I make Subhuti Roy a Muslim, he'll die." But because she insisted, he said, "Okay." So he took his water pot and he sprinkled water over Subhuti Roy. And in those days, if a Muslim sprinkled water over a Hindu, then he was considered a Muslim. So Subhuti Roy, he was complexed. What to do? Right? And he went to the Brahmins. And he asked the Brahmins, "The Muslim king, he sprinkled this water from his pot over the top of me. Now I'm a Muslim. What should I do?" So the Brahmin said, "The only thing that you can do now is to drink boiling ghee. That is the prayaschitya for such a thing. But if he drank boiling ghee, he'd die." So he went to some other Brahmins, and the other Brahmin said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Not a big thing." So he was perplexed what to do. But he saw this as an opportunity, the situation that he was in. He wanted to become detached, actually, from this life that he was living, family, society, friends, because it's so encumbersome. In family life, you not only have your children, then your children start having children, and they start having children, and you're always taking care of children, right? So Subhuti Roy, this is a good opportunity, actually. Now that people think I'm a Muslim, I'm not part of that community, so let me go. And he left. And he went to Varanasi. And there he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. And he presented his problem to Mahaprabhu. And what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said? Do? What did he tell him to do? He told Subhuti Roy, "Go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna." So that's what Subhuti Roy did. He went to Vrindavan and he began to chant Hare Krishna. And do you know how he used to maintain himself? Subhuti Roy used to collect dry wood in the forest, in the different forests in Vrindavan. And he would sell that dry wood. And with whatever money he got, he would take one paisa, and with that he would maintain himself. And the rest of the money he would keep with a grocer. Now, why did he keep it with the grocer? In those days, there weren't any banks, right? There were no banks. But the people, they used to sell grains like rice and wheat, dal. People used to keep their money with them. If they had some extra money, they'd keep it with the grocer. So that's what he did. And then when devotees of Chaitanya, of Lord Chaitanya, right? They would come from Bengal and Orissa. They found it very difficult in Vrindavan. Because in Bengal and Orissa, what do they eat? Who said rice? You're right. And not just any kind of rice. What kind of rice? Siddhachal. And if they don't get Siddhachal, then uska pet bahut garbad ho jata hai. So Subhuti Roy took it upon himself that when the devotees from Orissa and Bengal would come to Vrindavan, he would arrange for them rice. Right? And dahi. Right? Because while traveling, sometimes stomach gets upset, so you need some dahi. But that was his service. Right? And in this way, he tried to please Lord Chaitanya by pleasing his devotees. So just see, in the example of Subhuti Roy also, an unfortunate situation turned into a Muslim, but that situation caused him to advance in Krishna consciousness, to go to Vrindavan, to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya by serving Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Right? So much so that when Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan for the first time, he immediately went and found out Subhuti Roy, right? This devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And Subhuti Roy, even though he was older, much older than Rupa Goswami, he was an old man by that time living in Vrindavan, he took Rupa Goswami to all the holy places of Vrindavan. Right? And Rupa Goswami felt sheltered by Subhuti Roy. So again, we can take an example from this and try to apply it in our own lives to see whatever situation we're in, if somehow or another it's the Lord is arranging that for us to make further advancement in devotional service. And if we can see like that, then it will be very conducive for us in our devotional service. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Or comments?
Your idea that the Lord makes an arrangement, puts us in a situation so that we can make advancement. I heard a further comment by Ravindra Sarup. He said that when we've made the advancement that we were put into that situation to make, then the Lord will take us out of that situation. He'll again change the situation.
Sure. Yes. Yes. The Lord has various situations that he puts his devotee in. Right? And always for the good of the devotee. And what is that good? The good is to do more devotional service, to become more attached to him, and less attached to the temporary things of this world. Good point. Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Not a question exactly, just a comment if you allowed. You were saying that the modern society thinks that the people, we are advanced now, and there were no technologies in the ancient times. So it just occurred to me that everybody in the society, or every generation in the society, is equally modern in their own times. I mean, the old people were as modern as the modern people are modern today. And everybody would become old. I mean, for the forthcoming generations, the current modern generations would be an old generations in a few years. Maybe 20 years later, the current generation would be old generation for the forthcoming generations. So every time there were modern people, all the contemporaries were equally modern in their own times, but never ever they kind of destructed the old, the ancient, or the hereditary knowledge the way the contemporary modern generation is doing in the influx or effect of modern or oil-based industrialization. So I mean, this just a comment that occurred to me, that the modern generation has just to be kind of brought to the senses that you're not the first modern generation today. Thousands of years back also, the people were equally modern in their own times. Hare Krishna.
Well, gradually it's happening. The oil-based civilization is gradually coming to its knees, not being able to supply everyone's greed. Right? The greedy rich people are becoming more and more rich at the expense of the general populace. No one is happy in such a situation. Right? So gradually, Srila Prabhupada explained that this civilization based on cars gradually will come to an end. If all of a sudden there was no supply of diesel, there would be no way to bring food into this huge metropolis of Bombay, and millions of people would starve. Millions. So those kind of catastrophic days are coming because of the lack of Krishna consciousness. People are bewildered by insignificant things and feel that that's advancement. Because they have a phone that can also take a picture and keep notes and do so many different apps, they think that's civilization, that's modern, that's advancement, right? But you can't eat your phone if you're hungry. Your phone won't help you, right? What we really require comes from nature, comes from God. And that people forget. So Krishna will arrange things where people can realize that. Gradually, it will happen. Any other comments? Questions? Here's one up here.
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु प्रभु जी, आप बता रहे थे भगवान का प्लानिंग कुछ और रहता है, हमारा प्लानिंग कुछ और रहता है, तो हमें तो भगवान के प्लानिंग से ही कुछ करना होगा, तो हम भगवान का प्लानिंग कैसे समझ सकते हैं प्रभु जी?
Well, in the example that I gave, it was about Srila Prabhupada's life. So, Srila Prabhupada had a plan. But then, gradually, Krishna's plan was revealed to him. Although Srila Prabhupada had an intention, Krishna made a different arrangement. Srila Prabhupada never really dreamed of taking sannyas. Once he had a dream that he took sannyas. And when he woke up in the morning, he was horrified even by the thought of taking sannyas. Never entered. He had a dream of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati calling him to take sannyas. He was horrified. But yet, Krishna just arranged things in such a way that he took sannyas. And then he went to America and started the Krishna consciousness movement. So as things began to expand, then he could understand that this was Krishna's plan. So he said, I had my plan, but Krishna has his plan. And in our own Krishna consciousness, we can try to see how that works, right? And be ready for Krishna's plan. Don't be so attached to our own plan, right? Because our own plan may not work out. Krishna has another idea for us, but one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is so that everyone could get association with devotees. Because by association with devotees of the Lord, those that chant 16 rounds and follow the regulative principles, right? They can help us understand what is the plan of Krishna better than we can on our own. Right? So association is very important in order to understand the plan of Krishna. We see that again and again in the Bhagavatam, that any devotee that progressed, it was by the mercy of having association of other devotees. Whether it was Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. So we should always keep ourselves fixed up in association of devotees, and then it will become easy for us to understand the plan of Krishna. Okay? You have a question?
Now, when Chitraketu laughed at Parvati Devi, she was offended. But Lord Shiva was not offended. Does it mean that he was knowing that this was Krishna's arrangement?
No, he knew that it wasn't. He knew the mind of Chitraketu. Not that he was. It's not like Daksha. Daksha really offended Lord Shiva. He was nasty, right? And Chitraketu wasn't. He didn't intend to offend Lord Shiva or even Parvati. He was just astonished by the fact that they were sitting together in front of these saintly persons. It created astonishment for him. And he laughed out loud. And that he shouldn't have done or commented or laughed loudly. That was a mistake on his part. But Lord Shiva understood his mentality. He knew that the mentality of Chitraketu, and it wasn't an offensive mentality. Not only Lord Shiva didn't react, but all the saintly persons there at the assembly also didn't react. Right? because they knew that Chitraketu's mentality was not like Daksha's.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Gantra Chimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shil Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.